I want to start by a fact that was so mind-boggling.
Okay.
It really opened our eyes. Did you know? Like, I know that you didn't know. We already know this. But we discovered that Australia is not a continent.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, education system, I need answers.
It's all a lie.
Yeah, it's all a lie.
Australia is not a continent.
Yeah, roll the intro. I mean, yeah, we always read the same thing, right? Like, never.
So we actually have 6 continents.
No, Oceania is the 7th continent and not Australia. Oceania or Oceania is a continent. And Australia, New Zealand, and some other countries.
They come under that.
Yeah, they're a country.
Okay.
They're not a continent, which is so weird.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think this is like the fact which could like make you like a very, you know, when you are in a group of, let's say there's a party.
Okay.
And then a bunch of you are sitting.
Okay.
And you discuss about the continents of the world. And someone says Australia is a continent. And then you'll be like, just want to fact check you there. It's actually not. And then people will be like, oh my gosh, you are smart.
Yeah.
This is.
I would totally say that.
Yeah. It's a good fact. And hope you got some education out of this first 2 minutes of our podcast.
I think Australia is the biggest country, I mean, in that continent region.
Education system, we just need answers. Anyways, hello guys.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Creepy Kids podcast.
Yay.
This actually is not the theme of our podcast.
I don't know why we're talking about it, but
it's all right. Sometimes we can, like, you know, this was on my mind for a long time, and I needed to get it out there. Now our listeners know about Oceania being a continent. Anyways, so we are two sisters and we narrate horror stories every single week, and there's a whistle in the background. Ignore that. We have been doing a series, and Anushka will explain what the series is.
So there's a book called The Ghost of the Silent Hills. We read stories from the book.
Okay. It's been so many episodes.
Yeah.
I remember it was our 25th episode when we started reading from this book.
Yeah.
And we are on episode 33. I believe, 33. So 9, 8?
Yeah, 8.
Oh my gosh, so many episodes with this series, and we love it.
Yep.
Hope that you love it too. And one more thing, we are on YouTube, so come say hi. Anyways, let's begin with our story again. This book, The Ghosts of the Silent Hills, we are narrating stories from this book, and we are starting a new story. Who wants, do you want to go first, or should I go? Decisions.
Yeah, let me go.
All right.
Hey. A sudden.
They need to know the title.
The hospital room.
Hospital room. That's a sketchy title.
I remember This Is Us from this.
Oh my god, hospital room. I do remember This Is Us.
Which,
by the way guys, if you don't watch This Is Us,
what you're watching.
You are missing out on something really special, and there's nothing else like it out there. So go watch it. It's amazing.
A sudden angry cry resonated through the empty corridor of the hospital and reached the nurse's station of the floor. The two young nurses on night duty stared at each other with fear-filled eyes. Sister Nirmala, the matron on duty that night, was in the room behind the nurses' station. When she heard it too, she came running to check. "Somebody's in distress. Why are you two still glued to your seats?" she reprimanded them. Usha, the older of the two nurses, spoke hesitantly. "Ma'am, this isn't the first time. It's been happening for the past few months. The screams, sometimes angry howls, come from room 23.
Huh?
Many have heard them."
Okay.
Room 23 was the last dark, dingy room of the private ward situated on the first floor of the hospital. An equally dark, narrow corridor lined with white bare walls led to the room.
Oh my gosh, this is so like I pushed her chair towards me, which was funny. Yeah. If you're on YouTube, you watched that.
"Yes, ma'am, that's true," Julian, the other nurse, said. "And they are heard particularly when the room is vacant. Today too, there's no patient in that room."
Oh no. I don't like this. God.
"What rubbish," Sister Nirmala frowned. "There's always a skeptic."
Yeah, things start taking the wrong turns when there's a skeptic involved.
"Come with me, let's go and check."
That is why. Because they are like, "There's no ghost, I'm gonna go check this out."
Dumb.
And then they get killed.
She boldly strode towards room 23, expecting the nurses to follow her.
No, they won't. You are all on your own, Sister Nirmala.
She stood outside the room. The door was partly open. It should have been locked when not in use. How careless of the staff. At that instant, she heard a growling sound. Momentarily, she was unnerved.
Oh my god.
Then, gathering courage, she shoved open the door. Shoved open the door. Before entering the room, she looked back. There was no one behind her. The nurses hadn't followed her command. They need pulling up the disobedient lot. She gritted her teeth, wavered for a second, and then entered the room alone. The room was dark and cold. It had a stale, festering stench of decay, unlike the other's room that smelled fresh of antiseptics and sanitizers. The curtains were not drawn. Faint moonlight speed in through the bay window, and that's where her vision stopped, at the window. She became immobile. She stood there watching her intently. Then the shadowy figure began to move towards her.
No, stop.
This story started
In the other stories, there would be during one episode, nothing would happen. Yeah. And then this is bam, there's a ghost.
Yeah. "There you are at last."
Huh?
She clearly heard a man's voice.
Oh my god.
Instantly, she heard the door shut with a bang behind her.
No.
Nirmala stood rooted to the floor. Her vision had got just adjusted to the darkness by now. The figure was approaching her, slowly, gradually. When it was barely 5 feet away, she recognized the face. A loud shriek escaped her throat and she rushed towards the door. It was tightly shut now.
Are re.
Classic. She pushed it. It was jammed, as if it hadn't been open for years. She banged it with her shivering fisted hands and shouted continuously. Then she felt two hands on the nape of her neck.
Oh my God.
God.
I don't know.
The pressure on her neck slowly increased. She began to lose consciousness.
No.
Just then, the door opened.
Oh, thank God.
Two nurses, along with a ward boy, stood outside, shaky and worried.
Mm.
She fell into their arms.
Thank God.
Oh my God.
Thank God.
This was October of the year 1968 in a private hospital in Shimla district.
Mm.
May 1969, around 11 in the morning, Renuka was alone in room 23 of the first floor private ward.
Mm.
Her husband and son-in-law had been outside the delivery room for the past 2 hours. She too had been there, but then she had paced outside the delivery room so nervously and appeared so stressed while Arunima was in labor that the doctor had asked the nurse to take her to the room to rest. She didn't want to attend an extra patient.
That's like so unethical.
Renuka stood at the door, staring at the sad, vacant hollowness that enveloped the room.
Mm-hmm.
A patient's bed, a table, a chair, and an attendant's bed in the other corner constituted the bare minimum furniture. A bay window faced the straight wall of the mountain, allowing very little light into the room.
Hmm.
As a result, the moon was dark and dingy and needed artificial lighting even at daytime.
Arriba.
The nurses had immediately retreated after opening the door for her, leaving her alone. Renuka had failed to notice the pity and fear in the nurse's eye.
Because of the Nirmala incident.
The room felt undue cold and unwelcoming as Renuka stopped in after locking the door. She wrinkled her nose at the strong musty odor that filled the room. Ugh. Something was not right. Something repulsed her.
Oh.
Renuka shivered nervously as a cold draught hit her. She had never before felt so strange, uneasy, and turned to go back to request change of a room. Then, Then thinking that probably all rooms in the hospital would be the same, she changed her mind. Moreover, if Arunima had a normal delivery as expected, they wouldn't need to stay there for more than 2 days.
Huh.
With these thoughts, she consoled her troubled mind. She was too tensed up to rest and decided to utilize the time preparing the room.
Mm.
She opened the bags they had earlier dumped in a hurry. To overcome her fear and anxiety, she sang holy hymns as they took out things from the bags. The first to come out was the small baby's toiletries bag, and she carefully kept it on the small side table next to the patient's bed. As she looked at the things, she pulled out a loud thump behind her that made her jump.
Oh my God.
The bag lay on the floor, liquid oozing out from it began to create a large stain on the floor. She knew that a glass bottle containing some lotion had broken. She stood staring at the mess, simply unable to understand how the bag could fall when she had placed it so carefully.
Ghosts just they are so messy. Yeah. Our mom would hate them.
Yeah, I would hate them too. She rushed to the bathroom to fetch paper towels to clean the fast spreading stain. The bathroom was dark and icy cold. It felt as if the door of a refrigerator has been opened. Then she heard faint dragging footfalls.
Oh my gosh, I hate that.
Someone had followed her in.
Oh
my god. No. The main door was locked. She switched on the light and looked around. The empty space stared back at her. A strange, baffling fear began to grip her heart. She shivered and hurriedly retreated into the other room with the towels. Renuka unpacked the other stuff, setting it in the cupboard, loudly chanting holy songs all the while. And while she walked about the room, she continued to feel a presence, a mild rustle, a shuffle, a faint shadow. There was nothing perceivable in the room, but there definitely was something. She had a strong intuition.
Intuitions are never wrong.
Go with your gut.
Yeah.
An occasional knock on a distant door and soft debating voices were the external comforting noises, reminders of the close human presence and help. Half an hour later, her husband brought her the news of the birth and of their grandson.
Oh.
She heaved a sigh of relief. Both the mother and the baby were well.
Thank God.
All anxiety forgotten instantly, and with her husband around, the uncanny fear receded to back of her mind. It was perhaps a conception of an edgy mind and new settings, which were making her uneasy. Soon, the jubilant father of the newborn joined them in the room, and the atmosphere became one of respite and celebrations. In the evening, both the mother and the baby were shifted to the room.
The room number 23?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Renuka became too occupied even to remember the inexplicable presence she had felt that morning. Oh my god. Oh no.
Oh
my god.
I'm like so scared.
Yeah. Around 7 in the evening, the men left for home. They intended to pick up dinner on the way and would be back the next afternoon. Feeding Arunima the diet supplied by the hospital catering, Renuka ate the sandwiches and coffee she had ordered.
I want coffee.
Yeah, a nurse came around 9 to help Arunima breastfeed her baby. Renuka found her behavior strange as she endlessly kept shifting her eyes around the room. She was clearly discomfited.
Maybe she knew about the room.
After the nurse was gone, Renuka proposed, "For night, I'll keep the baby crib next to my bed and look after him. You need rest. Don't wake up unless necessary. I'll let you know when it is baby's feeding time." Arunima nodded and watched her mother drag the crib next to her bed rather gratefully. She was exhausted and within minutes was fast asleep.
Yeah. with both the mother and the baby tranquilly asleep, Renuka sat down to pray. She thanked the God for the beautiful gift, their bundle of joy. She prayed to God to bless the newborn and keep him safe always. After reading a few verses of the Bhagavad Gita and then keeping it on the bedside table, she switched off the light. She might have to get up frequently at night, therefore she decided to steal as many wings as she could. She sounds very much like me. The night bulb was on, spreading gentle, comforting light in the room, which is important. I feel like, especially in this room. The gaze, the gaze, mental and physical fatigue mixed with the relief for her daughter's safe delivery, the joy of having entered the grandmotherhood, and Renuka was soon snoring softly. It was around midnight, something woke Renuka up. What's with midnight and 3 a.m., guys? She was drenched in sweat and struggling to breathe. Where was she? Was it a nightmare she had seen? She raised her head. The door of the room was directly in front of her. It was shut. A door painted white and a brass knob handle. This was the door she had seen in her dream. She had seen the golden knob turning and the door opening. She took a few deep breaths to calm her nerves. Then she dropped her head back on the pillow and lay speculating. Who was the man with the blood pouring on his body? She had so vividly seen him enter this room through the door. I am unwell. It didn't feel like a dream at all. It seemed so real. She remembered him standing and staring at her with murder in his eyes. He had then spoken something before walking towards her menacingly. She was getting ready to defend herself when she had woken with a start. Renuka surveyed the room. It seemed empty, gloomy, and very cold. She shivered and raised her head to peek at the baby. He was sleeping serenely. Arunima, too, was blissfully asleep. She wondered what the time was. Her watch was kept in the cupboard and she had no intention of getting up. She closed her eyes and tried to sleep. 10 minutes later, she heard Arunima moaning and her eyes flew open. Instantly noted a faint shadow bent over her daughter. As the shadow gradually became distinct, Arunima's struggles intensified. Renuka's heart skipped a beat. Whose shadow was that? She tried getting off the bed but felt as if she was tethered to it.
My God.
Arunima was now cursing audibly. Two shadowy hands, barely inches above her neck, were slowly pressing down, suffocating her. I do not want to. This is so. Her curses changed to prayers. Good thing.
Good. Keep praying.
Yeah, Ram, Ram, with an effort. Renuka sat up. Just then, the shadow began to straighten up. Where she? Oh, mama.
Whoa.
A gruff male's voice reverberated in the room. I hate that there's like a male or something. I have no idea. Renuka saw the shadow turn its head towards her. it seemed to be directly staring at her. And this time it was no dream. Guys, this is a real story. This is inspired by a real story. I am not well at this point.
I'm done.
Oh my gosh. Though it was the same eerie figure she had recently seen in her dream, she was drenched in sweat once again and her heart jumped out of her ribs. I would have had a heart attack. Like, ghosts would not be like, they would not have to do anything. I would just die on my own. The shadow straightened up and began to move towards her. Leave the baby alone or else I will kill you. The baby's crib was between her and the shadow. No. The baby was in danger. Renuka mustered up her energy and jumped out of the bed. She had barely snatched the baby from the crib and wrapped him in her protective arms when the crib shook dangerously. Ghost, have some mercy. Because that's not cool. She stepped back. The electric bulb, along with the complete contraption, crashed on the baby's pillow.
Oh no!
This is too much. Renuka, scared, horrified. Arunima was now trying to sit up. Mama, what's going on? I am so scared. Someone is here. He tried to strangle me. She was crying hysterically. And then she saw it. A ghostly shadow near her mother and screamed anybody would. Deep breaths. Her mother was holding the baby in her arms, shaking violently and chanting mantras. And then they both heard a distinct growling, like a breeze against the dry leaves or a distant rumble of the thunder. Jao.
That just rhymed, huh?
Yeah. Hey, cried. Jao.
I just said
it rhymed.
Rhymed.
Okay. Jao as in leave. Whatever.
Joe.
Oh my gosh. Don't even try and do this. We're recording this at night and I'm unwell. Renuka rushed to Arunima. Arunima, get up quick. She almost dragged her out of her bed, supporting her daughter by her left arm while holding the baby in her right. She rushed towards the door. This Renuka is
superwoman.
Boss woman.
She's a superwoman.
Yep. Yeah. Renuka turned the knob and pushed the door to open it. The door didn't budge. It had been opened a number of times during the day, but it was never stuck like this. She turned to check where that specter was. A misty but distinct shadow stood right behind. It was then that she felt a strong blow on her left cheek.
Ah.
A terrible chill ran down her spine. She shrieked and so did Arunima. Where's she? They both heard again. Who is this ghost trying to find? Because like they're literally in front of him and
he wants someone else, or else he would have killed them by now.
I don't understand what this ghost is trying to do, which is like so I don't know, I'm curious. In that moment, Renuka realized that the ghostly entity was searching for someone. Keep away from us, she shouted, which is like very brave, because I don't think I could. Where was I? She started putting her entire effort to open the door. Om Bhuvah Swaha, which is like an Hindu chant. The door opened with a creaking sound. Then Renuka started chanting loudly in her shivering voice as they rushed out. The nurses on night duty noticed the ladies rushing towards them. What's wrong? Patient is not supposed to be out like this. Well, first of all, hospital. If you like the Nirmala incident, they should have locked the room shut forever.
Yeah.
Hospital, your fault. Where was I? Got so angry with that guy. Then perceiving their panicky faces, they rushed to their aid. There's someone in the room. A ghost wants to kill us. Arunima whispered in her quivering voice. Renuka added, angry and violent. We both saw it. I can't stay in that room, not with our baby. She wheezed and gasped. I mean, I am like, oh my gosh, the poor girls, poor ladies. The nurses shuddered and stared at them. Well, I'll speak with the matron, one of them mumbled. We'll try to get your room changed as soon as the office opens at 8.
They are not going to get it.
At 8 in the morning. Oh, honey.
That's too long.
This is not how it's supposed to work. Hospital.
Yes.
The other one tried reassuring, not knowing how else to help.
Shut up.
What about now? I can't stand here the whole night.
Just give her a different room.
Yeah, I mean, do you
know? For
not
a night.
Have, yeah. Like for the time being. And first of all, the room should have been shut. And then they are. I am not impressed with this hospital. Arunima moaned in pain and shivered. Oh my gosh, she just gave birth. Guys, what are you doing? The nurses looked at each other indecisively, fearing.
What are you doing, nurses? Don't look at each other, do something.
Fear gripping down their eyes.
Oh my gosh.
When Arunima swooned and almost collapsed on the floor, they swung into action. Both the ladies were then offered seats and water. A deathly silence followed the frenzy. The four ladies just stared at each other and down the corridor, expecting the ghost to appear any minute. The clock ticked loudly, competing with the sounds of heavy breathing. This author is just on another level, man.
Oh, she's so dramatic.
Yeah. Renuka mumbled prayers. The baby slept peacefully in his grandma's arms.
Baby's nice.
Yeah, baby is such like unproblematic. Imagine if he would like cry.
Yeah.
That would have been a different story. 10 minutes passed in a morbid hush. Renuka and Arunima gradually calmed down and gathered the courage to brief the nurses of their terrifying experience in undertones, lest they call for the wrath of the supernatural being in their close proximity. I did not understand the any word from that sentence.
Proximity means in your area. I only understood that.
Before we rushed out, I felt a blow on my face. It's still paining. Wow, my goodness, Renuka. Yeah. Renuka concluded, rubbing her cheek lightly. Even I am rubbing my cheek too. In the bright light of the nursing station, the other woman gawked in shock. Renuka's left cheek was so distinctly different from her right one. It was swollen and red, slowly acquiring a purplish tinge, like someone's lapped?
Yeah, I think.
Something like that. That was clear evidence that someone had recently punched her hard on her face. Which is like...
Ow.
Ow. He's getting stronger and vicious, whispered the nurse. Now this nurse sure knows something.
Does he want Nirmala?
I have no idea, but this is where we are going to stop.
Oh my god.
We're just like such a like, yeah. I could have read like two more lines, but this is the cliffhanger and we are going to be continuing the story in the next episode. So make sure you tune in, because my god, you do not want to miss what's about to happen, because we haven't read it, so we are on the same page as you guys. So, oh my gosh, like this story is so much different than the other ones. I cannot believe this.
Yeah,
wow. Oh my gosh.
Is it gonna get scarier after every story?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because, I mean, she started with a very
like
mild one.
Yeah, mild one. And then like now she's like, oh my gosh. Or maybe later in the story they reveal what's happened in the room. So there's like the history that's coming in. Which usually what the writer does is she does the history first and then the spooky part start to come.
I don't know.
Just rambling around here. Anyways, we have two more stories, short stories for you guys. And yeah, we will be continuing on our spooky ride. Hope you are enjoying it so far.
The Enfield Horror. On the night of April 25th, 1973, a little boy by the name of Greg Garrett was playing in his backyard in Enfield, Illinois, when he was attacked. Not by a person or any animal anyone had never seen before to this day. Anyone had never seen it before to this day.
It's alright.
Nobody knows what it was, but it tore his shoes to pieces and left him in tears.
Hi.
Just minutes later, local resident Henry McDaniel opened his front door after hearing a light scratch.
Scratches are the worst.
Got a good look at what would come to be known as the Enfield Horror. Greg and Henry's descriptions were pretty much exactly the same. The horror was short, no more than 1.5 meters. That's 5 feet, and had 3 legs. Yes, 3. It also possessed short, stubby arms ending in claws or talons that seemed to be placed in the center of its body rather than at its side. It was hairy yet slimy, and had reddish pink eyes the size of flashlights. Just minutes earlier, Henry's children had insisted that a monster of some kind had tried to break into the house while he and his wife had been out to dinner. He laughed at it at first. But upon seeing this thing on his porch, Henry slammed the door and went directly for his gun. He ripped open the door and fired 4 shots.
Okay.
He was sure he hit it on the first, and he said the thing hissed like a wild cat before bounding away, covering 25 meters. In a few powerful leaps, he immediately called the police, and over the next few days, several more sightings were reported by searchers, sheriff's deputy, and a radio station news director and his crew. Henry also saw it once more a couple of times later out of his window as it wandered near some railroad tracks, and then it was gone. whatever it was, it hasn't been since. It hasn't been since. It hasn't been seen since. Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, like so. My God. In my head, I'm just picturing and I just think that it looks a lot funnier than, I don't know, maybe it's funny? In my head. Because like it's short and I don't know.
It has reddish pink eyes.
I don't know, I just feel it's a little funny.
You thought that was funny?
Just like a little bit. Little bit. But imagine like living in a town where this thing,
yeah,
which is like not in any shape or form, animal or human, yeah, just roaming around. That would be so terrifying. I remember, yeah, when we had the monkey man incidents in our, not exactly in our area, but very far away from, yeah, us, where people with like, they were like some lookers, I guess, and they would wear like monkey masks on their face and they would just like roam and loot people at nights. And we were like so scared of that. I remember my best friend and I, we were like, we were kids at the time, so we would like cuddle up in a room and just like sit and not open the door at any cost. Oh my gosh, it was so scary. And then there was another incident with 3-faced woman.
Yeah,
that to me is horrifying. Like a woman with 3 faces.
Yeah,
that is so horrifying. Wow. Apparently there was this woman who would wear this mask,
yeah,
and people would like see her from the peephole and then they would be unconscious.
Yeah,
because obviously like when you see something like that, you're obviously going to pass out. So they would pass out and this woman would enter their house and loot them, which is so scary. Like,
yeah, it's incorrect.
Yeah, it's not correct.
And cruel.
Yeah, it's cruel to like, imagine if a person would have had a heart attack.
Whoa.
That would have been so much worse. So people like do crazy things like that. So it's also possible like someone might have been playing a prank on them.
Yeah, but it had 3 legs.
Yeah, so this woman also had 3 faces, but she was a human.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm trying
but obviously it feels good to just imagine that it was a prank. Okay, yep. Just let me have that piece.
Yeah.
All right, time for my story. So this story is titled The Sleepwalking Suicide. Soon after 18-year-old Carissa Glenn moved into her new Cornwall flat, she began sensing a presence.
Ah,
classic. She had the feeling that someone or something was there when she was alone at night, and she often brought it up with family and friends over the month or so that she lived in the flat. She could hardly have been that surprised. She had heard a rumor before moving in that the previous tenant had hanged himself. Like, if you know, if you already have this information, first of all, why
would you go for it?
Yeah, why would you go? So, I can't. People make dumb choices sometimes. According to her friends, she would have extraordinarily vivid nightmares about hanging, in addition to the feelings of being haunted. Her friends were concerned, as Carissa had a history of sleepwalking and of acting out her dreams.
Oh,
and though the rumor about the previous tenant actually proved false, Carissa may have just been haunted after all. Oh, wow, someone was trying to get in her head.
Yeah.
On April 14, 2008, the happy young woman who had been out for drinks with friends the evening before hung herself with a scarf. Well, her friends agree she'd been happy, except one thing, she sometimes didn't want to go back to her flat at night because of the presents and the greens.
My God.
And with that, we'll wish you your own sweet dreams, is how this psych ended the story. Oh my gosh. Like, someone definitely tried to get in her head. And then there was a presence. She was feeling it. She didn't want to go back and get the flat. She probably should have just, like, left. But I can understand if she carried up all her money in the flat. And then she couldn't leave so suddenly. But yeah, that is so tragic.
That is tragic.
That is so tragic. I don't like this. If you're having nightmares, there's something really...
You should consult someone.
Yeah. Therapy is always helpful, guys.
Yeah.
Even if you think you don't need it, you need it. Anyways, it's time to end the episode because we've had so much of our creepy stuff. Let's leave on a happier note. Well, not really that happy for me because this is the gag jokes segment. So the last episode we had like no gag jokes because of like we had a whole rant about the cyclone, go binge it, and then this week I gave the liberty to go overboard, which I really hope she hasn't gone overboard.
Yeah, I have 3 dad jokes.
Oh my gosh. That just seems like a lot. We should have like some kind of a party or something when I finally laugh on one of these.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be like a big moment because I am just unable to laugh. Anyways.
Yeah, let's start.
Hit me with it.
What kind of noise does a witch's vehicle make?
Witch's vehicle. I'm not even going to guess it because I probably would be wrong.
Broom, broom.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that was so bad. I hate that. Next one, please.
What kind of drink can be bitter and sweet?
Bitter and sweet. What is this?
Reality.
It's really difficult to laugh on these. Last one, thank God.
What's the most detail-oriented ocean?
Detail-oriented ocean? Huh.
Come on.
Like so many. Atlantic, Pacific.
Ooh. The Pacific. Pacific. The Pacific. Pacific.
Oh my God.
Specific.
Get out of this room. I am not. Next time you're only having one and that is all you get. That was so bad. Get out. Anyways, yeah, thank you so much
for listening and watching.
If you're on YouTube, you can see our like very bag. My hair is like going places, guys. Anyways, this is how we are.
That's us.
And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Was there anything else? What's our Instagram?
CreepyTale69.
Yeah, go follow us. If you have a horror story, what should they do?
You can email us at creepytale69 gmail.com
69 whatever. Okay, we'll have a link or something in the description. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, thanks you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Wow, chaos, pure chaos. Bye guys.
Bye.
Love you.